contemporary this morning is not terribly tricky. It's findable. But you would think that it was extremely complicated and convoluted and well hid.
Yep.
By the fact that a couple thousand years have gone by and folks haven't put it together.
Yes.
It would be a good thing if we who are Bible believers allowed that word to work effectually in us so that what we say we believe, we operate according to its principles, precepts, and facts.
Yes.
Now, I know that it's possible to idolize a lot of things in life, and that's always a wrong thing because yes, everything here is temporal.
Amen.
And what really matters are heavenly things and that which is eternal. When people get caught up into idolizing a day on the calendar or idolizing the events that are associated with it, we know from Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 4 that an idol is nothing in the world. So if you have totem pole decorations all through your house and talismans hanging on the wall and crucifixes and rosaries and all the rest of it, all of that idolatry is really nothing in the world. It's just a mental error and foolishness and superstition. The God of the Bible gave us a book and gave us information that would help us to hitchhike on a verse we studied recently in 1 Timothy, that we not give heed to fables. And the fables that are out there are almost too many to number. And the error that is out there, when you begin to separate from it, and you start losing friends over it, and people start thinking that you're kind of a over the rainbow with Dorothy and Toto crazy person, you begin to pay the price for standing against the fables, one of two things will happen. And more often than not, folks say, well, since Paul's rather ambivalent about it, I'll be ambivalent about it too. Paul's ambivalence in the sense that in Romans chapter 14, he says that the weak do one thing and the strong do another. Paul's not suggesting that we be weak. Rather, people choose to be weak. Now, when it comes to some issues, folks get very emotional and bent out of shape when you deal with the doctrine, because it's not doctrine to them. To them it is personal, to them it is visceral, to them it is life experience.
Yes.
So you do the best you can with it. I've always taught the material, but I've never chased people around and tried to be their grace Gestapo and tell them what to do, because we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're supposed to, Romans chapter 14, verse 5, become fully persuaded in our own minds.
Yeah.
With that as a backdrop, let's start in Luke chapter 1. And note in verse 26 some things that we can know. Now, I enjoy knowing things.
Yeah.
Paul often says, knowing that. And when he does, I want to make sure I know that. Knowing that, tribulation, work of patience, experience, that's a good thing to know. That gives me a heads up. I'm to expect some tribulations in this life. In Luke chapter 1, here's something we can know in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the sixth month has to do with verse 24. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. In Elizabeth's sixth month, verse 26, Gabriel goes to, verse 27, Mary. So we've got something that we know. We know Mary's conception. Was Elizabeth's sixth month. It's with an S, isn't it? Elizabeth's sixth month is Mary's conception. So we've got something pegged.
Yes.
I don't know much more, but I have a correlation now between Elizabeth and Mary.
Yes.
Drop down to verse 36. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. So I've got it twice. I understand it from Luke 1, 24 to 26, and it's plain as the nose on your face in verse 36. In Luke chapter 1. Now, if I can find when Elizabeth conceived, the rest is math. Mm-hmm. If I can date when Elizabeth conceived, I can add the appropriate number of months and know when Christ was born.
Yes.
Now, I know that in Luke chapter 1, in verse 23, Zechariah had finished his ministration. He departed to his own house. Between verse 23 and verse 24, Zechariah says, "Hi, honey, I'm home." And after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. So, when Zechariah has wrapped up his service in the temple, then, "Hi, honey, I'm home," and Elizabeth conceives. So, I've got some more information now. I've got when Elizabeth conceives, it's when Zech comes home. Well, if I know when Zech was away, I'll find out when he comes home. I'll know when Elizabeth conceives. I add the appropriate time. There, Mary conceives. Now, I just do 9 months from that, and I know when the Lord was born. You'd think this was impossible.
Yeah.
People sit around, do the crossword puzzle in the Wall Street Journal. They'll sit around New York Times. They'll do Sudokus every day. Mm-hmm. But this is over their heads.
Yeah.
Now, it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, as soon as he departed to his own house. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Then away from home, went to the temple, did his service. After those days, his wife conceives. She hid herself 5 months. That's verse 24. We know 2 verses later, and 12 verses later, Mary conceives in Elizabeth's sixth month. Yep. We've got breadcrumbs.
Yes.
We've got information. Now, I need to peg something on a calendar here. I've got a progression.
Yes.
All the ducks will line up. Mm-hmm. But I need to peg something on the calendar here. Up till now, I'm not able. In Luke chapter 1, however, towards the beginning, we read in verse 5, in the days of Herod, there was a certain priest named Zechariah. It is a Z baby. Named Zechariah. And he is of the course of Abiah. That's a date certain.
Yes.
Because the course of Abiah was 8 weeks into the Hebrew year, which begins on Passover. So I've got now a date certain. I've got Passover plus 8 weeks. Gives me the course of Abiah. So I need to figure out when Passover is. I need to count on my fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 weeks. I got when Seth comes home. When he comes home, Elizabeth conceives. When Elizabeth is in her 6th month, Mary conceives. At 9 months, put up a tree. So, I know when folks actually think peace on earth, goodwill toward men is the theme of the Christmas season, that you're in a hole so deep, I don't know how you dig yourself out.
Yeah.
The Lord Himself said there wouldn't be peace in Luke chapter 12, verses 50 and 51. Ignorance of the Bible is the currency of modern Christianity.
Yes.
You wouldn't know it because of the deafening bad music that they play. Because they're all with their eyes rolled back and their foreheads waving their hands at the fluorescent bulbs in the ceiling for whatever reason, praying for the Holy Ghost to come.
Yeah.
Which is clear testimony that they're not saved.
Yes, it is.
Since they're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. But besides that, when we go to 1 Chronicles, in chapter 24, we read in verse 19, these were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord. So, specific instructions were given. And the orderings that were given included in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, that the 8th was the course of Abiah. Well, if I know the 8th course is Abiah, I know the Hebrew year begins with Passover. Doesn't begin January the 1st. It would correspond to our April. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the 1st month of the year to you. So you get along about April, and the Jewish folks are celebrating Passover, and it's the beginning of their new year, and they'll tell you what number it is, some odd 6,000 and something. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 4, the narrative says, this day came ye out in the month of Aviv. It's the Passover month. It's the first, the beginning of months. And it corresponds to our April. Now, it doesn't work on our whole calendar, but it works on part of our calendar. And if you've been reading my blog, you've got this already. We're in a month called November, and we just finished a month called October, and the one before that was September, and the one after this is December. December, decade, decalogue, and October, octagon, octopus, 8. You may not be as familiar with French or Latin, but novum, 9. Sept, 7. So our 9th month corresponds to Israel's 7th month, our 10th to their 8th, our 11th to their 9th, our 12th to their 10th. That gives you enough information that you can do the rest of them. The rest of our months are named after Roman gods, so it doesn't work very much, but these do. So you can always figure out where you are by just backing up 2 months on a Hebrew calendar. If you're in our seventh, it's probably close to their fifth. It's not going to be precise, but it's not going to be seat in a row, but it'll be what section?
Yeah.
Now, from the beginning of the year, Abib, which is our April, when you get to the course of Abaya, you've added 8 weeks, April, May, June.
Yep.
Wow. I'm starting to get some dates certain. April for Passover. Zechariah comes home in June. Elizabeth conceives in June. Let's see, she's 6 months along. July, August, September, October, November, December. Mary's conception is going to be in December. 9 months, September.
Right.
Now you'll hear me say late September, early October, because there is not precision. Israel had a 30-day calendar. We don't. They had 12 by 30. We don't. But this gets me, again, in the ballpark.
Yes.
Got it all out of the Bible.
Yes.
Nothing with the phases of the moon.
No.
Nothing with what Pope Innocent said.
No.
What a concept. In Luke, in chapter 1, in verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, there he is doing his work. Verse 13, the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. So actually, between Luke chapter 1 verse 26 and Luke chapter 1 verse 36, Zechariah actually may have had more to say than, honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna believe what I found out. You ain't gonna believe what the angel of the Lord told me. So, he knows now. If you'd been trying to have this child and now you're up in years and an angel comes and tells you you're gonna have a child, I'm supposing you don't do a 1 Corinthians 7 time of prayer and fasting. I think it's probably right when he gets home. Just the realities of human flesh. So Zechariah returns home, drop down to verse 23 again in Luke chapter 1. He departed to his own house, and verse 24 she conceives. We've got ourselves June for her conception. When she is 6 months along, you just count on your fingers, flip the pages of the calendar, and you get to December for Mary's conception. Ethelbert W. Bullinger, if you've seen, I think I gave you his autobiography or his biography.
Yeah.
You saw his picture, his cherubic face, and I think he's got that about him. In his notes, he said, the great irony is that everybody is celebrating his birth on the day he was conceived.
Yes.
One more example of humanity getting everything wrong.
Amen, amen.
So knowing in verse 26 that Elizabeth was 6 months along when Mary conceives, which would be December, we know that in verses 35 and 36, Luke chapter 1, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing shall be born in thee, which is called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Pegs it date certain, doesn't he?
Yes.
So when John is born, 6 months later, here comes the Lord. So the rest is simple math. Elizabeth conceives in June. She's 6 months along when Mary conceives in December. And 9 months later, the Lord shows up in late September, early October, I like to say. Because that's enough to get you out of December.
Yes.
That's enough to get you away from what Carol and I affectionately refer to as Baal Day.
Amen.
Where people do everything wrong and call it loving Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By cutting the Scandinavian tree god thing out of the woods and bowing down before the tree god. Got to be an evergreen because it doesn't die. It's a tree god.
Yeah.
It's an evergreen tree. And bow down. When you bow down to Odin, O-D-I-N, he spreads gifts under himself, the tree.
That's
spreading
handy.
Gifts under him. Isn't that amazing? So, Christianity will fight. Already, Bill O'Reilly, good Catholic that he is out there with a bumper sticker about it's okay to say Christmas. I don't have any idea how much of Christianity's energy is being invested, and how much of its resources and money is being invested to put Christ back in Christmas. But they're attempting to do that and put him where he never was in the first place.
That's it.
So it's just mind-boggling, but that's where we are. Our founders knew better.
Yes.
It was against the law to celebrate Christmas and have times of wanton revelry. And you could be put in the stocks in Boston Common and fine five shillings if you celebrated it or took the day off.
Yes.
They knew.
Yes, they did.
It was the Mass of the Christ. We didn't want Romanism over here in the 13th. We didn't want them. The Irish potato famine forever changed the demographics of this country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's folly number one, celebrating the wrong day.
Yeah.
You might make an ancillary point that it's wrong to celebrate any day based on Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, and Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. To say that Christ was begotten in a manger in Bethlehem is folly number two. We know from Paul in Acts chapter 13, in verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us and their children in that he raised up Jesus again. Is he talking about Bethlehem or is he talking about Golgotha? He raised up Jesus again, also as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day. The resurrection of Christ is called the beginning. This day have I begotten thee. So begotten from the dead into eternal life is what is being referred to, which is a cross-reference to the prophetic Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. I will declare this decree, the Lord hath said unto thee, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 16, calling Christ the only begotten Son. Lots of people got born.
Yeah.
He's the only begotten from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead that didn't go back and die again. So, the idea that the begetting of Christ was in a manger in Bethlehem takes the focus away from where it belongs, which is Calvary's cross, and puts the focus on the innocent babe in the manger who wouldn't judge anybody, who is dependent on humanity. Oops. So you worship the mama rather than the resurrected Lord. And so it becomes very important that you venerate Mary, which more and more evangelical Christians are writing books toward that end. That we made too little of Mary, that the priest made too much of Mary, so we'll find some middle ground about Mary. Mary's a garden variety sinner, same as anyone else. needing a Savior, same as everyone else. But not in Romanism, of course. She's immaculately conceived, and she was taken to heaven in the assumption that without having to die. Fables are so inculcated into what used to be called Protestant Christianity. More and more people are saying, don't call me a Protestant, I'm not protesting anything.
Yeah.
They're going along with everything.
Yeah.
But of course, that's the wrong thing to do.
Amen.
So folly number two is that he was begotten in a manger in Bethlehem. Folly number three is that we ought to care. God manifest in the flesh. We care about that. But what day? Why would that matter? Celebrating his birth comes from the same pagan traditions whereby we celebrate our births. The fact of the matter is, each day's pretty much the same. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, in verse 26, the statement is made that we are to show the Lord's death till he come. Not about his birth. Now the thing that is important for us to discern in my never to be humble opinion is the focus on the birth of the Lord takes your eyes off the cross. And he becomes your pattern to follow. What would Jesus do? Turn the other cheek and everybody. Trying to live like Jesus. Did you mean that when you said that? He was God. Who in blazes do you think you are?
Amen.
You can live like Jesus. Megalomaniac, narcissistic nut burgers you are. You think you can live as God manifest in the flesh, holy, perfect, and without sin? Could I talk to your wife for 5 minutes? It won't take that long.
Nope.
So we're to show the Lord's death. It's his death for our sins. He wasn't born for payment of sins. He was born that the payment could be executed on Calvary's cross. It needed to happen. May I just, as we're here, point out, here's the miracle. The conception was the miracle.
Yeah.
I have no reason to think anything about his birth was other than a child coming through a birth canal and taking its birth breath and crying and needing a diaper. A normal birth. The miracle was the conception.
Yes.
Not the birth. That's why they call the Church on Wilmington Pike Immaculate Conception. They know what's the miracle. And they
forget,
of course, about Mary. I am picky, aren't I?
Hope so.
Now, in Luke chapter 1, I know we're Pauline, but we actually read the rest of the Bible, too. In Luke chapter 1 again, drop down to verse 68. These are verses you do well to have in your resume, to have in your repertoire. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. You find any Lutherans in there? You find any Methodists in there? You find any Baptists in there? I did neither. And by the way, since the world began, that's the same four words that ends Peter in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, and Paul in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, this since the world began, and they contrast one to the other. So the idea of celebrating his birth, which is, by all accounts, there's nothing special about his birth, his conception was unusual.
Yes.
Virgin births, only been one. So, except for the fourth Star Wars. isn't little Anakin, isn't he version four? I mean, George Lucas, yeah. It's all the Force be with you. Mm-hmm. If you just take Force out and put God in, and you've got good and God and Satan, that's all he wrote about.
Yes.
That's all Star Wars is.
Yes, it is.
But the mother on the Patty, whatever the name of that stupid planet was, and had the little Luke that raced those goofy cars.
Yeah.
He was version of the Lord.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's been two virgin births.
Yeah.
One by God, one by George Lucas.
Yes.
Yeah, right. You know, we get all these images of, and we just, they go past us. We accept things that aren't so. The Lord Jesus Christ is to have his death remembered, his death, burial, and resurrection preached. Paul shows up and says, I care to know nothing of you, save what kind of Christmas tree you have and how many presents you've got. And did you do the little calendar, Advent calendar, where you open a little page every day and get yourself a piece of chocolate every day until the birthday of Jesus, and then you give him a piece of chocolate, and so you have 24 and you have four. We don't think it's about us, do we? Oh, it's better to give than receive. If nobody gave you anything, that you'd be so mad, that'd be the last Christmas you ever went to.
Yeah.
People lie continually. Better to give than receive. Oh, I just love giving.
Yeah, right.
You get nothing but a sock with a piece of coal in it, you'll be madder than a wet hand.
It's true.
Folly number four. And for this, we need to go to Romans chapter 14. I have been, and will be again, called a legalist for teaching against this. And I'm trying to tell other people what to do. Well, that wouldn't be the first time, would it?
No. No.
I try to tell people to get saved.
Yeah.
I try to tell people to put their faith in Christ Jesus and his payment for their sins. I try to tell people to study to show themselves approved. I'm all the time trying to tell people what to do, and it's because I believe this book and the books work effectually in me, and I believe it and teach it. I didn't make this stuff up. Were I to make things stuff up, I think I'd make some up that were more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More pleasing.
Yeah.
Most everything I teach is so negative according to where people want to be. They go to church, they want God to give them a cookie.
Oh, yeah.
That they showed up. Well, in Romans chapter 14, the verse that gets thrown at me is that, I'm in Acts, no, I've been reading. In Romans chapter 14, I'm supposed to let every man make up his own mind, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind in verse 5. Great. We don't have any mind police here telling anybody what they should think because I think it. But it would be wrong to teach different from what the Bible teaches when the Bible teaches that you can choose to be weak or choose to be strong. Verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, she's still your sister, he's still your brother. You receive them. You don't talk with them about a lot of things because they're just as dumb as a brick. Mm-hmm. Doubtful disputations. Watched a fella preach for 45, 50 minutes, draw a dispensational chart, ask for questions after the meeting. A lady raised her hand and she said, I'd like to know when a dog barks at midnight, did somebody die?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the question.
I don't have to make these things up.
No.
I was there.
Yeah, you too.
I saw it. You were there too.
Yeah.
Down in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, the answer is yes.
Yeah. There's 7 billion people on the planet. I'm pretty sure a dog barks, somebody dies. I think just statistically, it's got to be so.
I think so.
I would.
But it was because she hadn't gotten much out of the message.
Yeah.
Weak in the faith, I hope she was saved. One believer that he made all things. Now, modern society would call that a glutton. Another who is weak. Modern society would say, well, that's an intelligent vegan. Why, that's somebody that's hugging trees and saving the earth. But the Bible says you've got it backwards. It's the weak one that's the vegetarian. Now, why would that be weak? Well, they're still back in the garden.
Yeah.
The program that's been changed three times since.
Yeah.
You see, it's weak, verse 1, in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
These are faith issues, what you have for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith the right division is right, so hand me the pork chop.
Yep.
But not him that eateth, despises him. So you don't go around hitting people with your pork chop. You don't despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. I mean, he just doesn't know. What do you do when somebody doesn't know? You teach them.
Yes.
You edify them. You don't judge them. Verse 4. One man esteemeth one day above another. Who's the one man? Would he be the weak one or the strong one? That's where I want to be. I want to be the strong one. If I've got a choice between strong and weak, I can tell you which way I'll go. Not always pleasant. Not always comfortable. It doesn't always get you what you want. So, I'm going to say, not only is it not legalistic to teach the material, it's irresponsible when you don't.
Yes.
Because what you've done is leave some breadcrumbs down on the floor that will lead a person back to either superstition or Romanism or to a Jewish Levitical calendar. You don't want to do that. Brother Justin on his Grace Ambassador's newsletter, the one I got yesterday, or did I get it this morning?
Yes.
Whenever I got it, yesterday or today. Makes the statement that you've got grace believers teaching that one of the gifts is still operating from Ephesians chapter 4 that he gave pastors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take that position, then you're stuck with 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
and you are toddling back to Pentecost. I read that and I thought, brother, you've connected the dots. And then I said, there's one more dot, you know, in Romans 12. But, yeah, you've got it. You see the bigger picture. That the little thing that they're doing because everybody does it and nobody's ever fussed with me up till now. Who do you think you are? You've identified what it effectually does. It opens that door. It opens that bridge back to wrong thinking. In Galatians 4, Paul says in verse 10 and 11, he thinks he's labored on the Galatian people in vain because they regard one day over another. Well, now let's think. Paul wrote 13 books. So Galatians, one of the 13 books, six chapters in Galatians, the point of Galatians, trying to get them away from being Judaized and
yes.
go back under the law.
Right.
And Paul uses as a litmus test on those people observing one day over another.
Yes.
Should that be wasted on us? I don't think so. If he says, I see it, I need to see it as well. I know from Colossians 2:16, we're not in new moons, we're not in Sabbath days, not in all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Although thinking about Justin and the meetings coming up on December 10th and 11th, as I was, I would have you to know that Saturday the 10th is a full moon.
Oh!
I may grow hair. Didn't Lon Chaney always grow hair on the full moon?
Yeah.
I thought he did. Well, folly number 5 is very simple. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. An agrarian society did not tax in the middle of winter. Everybody farms. Everybody's got sheep. Everybody's got cattle. You tax when they've got the crops, not after they've been eating them for 4 months. So you tax not in the middle of the winter, but at the time of the harvest. Granny Smith apples, tomorrow, Myers, 88 cents. Why? The crop came in. Harvest time. They're flush. Tax them. Kind of like now. If it moves, tax it. Folly number six is that the shepherds didn't know to come in out of the snow. It's winter in Jerusalem, same time it's winter here.
Yes.
The snowstorms we get, they're getting them as well.
Yeah.
And so they were in the same country, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. I beg your pardon. Would the motels be full, the Motel 6 or whatever they were saying, be full in the dead of winter?
No.
Or at the time when you can travel and get around? Would you ask everybody to travel and get around in the dead of winter? So, common sense helps you to see that there's some problems with what is commonly taught. We don't need, then, the commercialism, the paganism, the Romanism, to know that the Mass of the Christ is goofy. It's clear from our Bibles.
Amen.
That when we start at Passover and go 8 weeks to Abib, and we Zechariah come home to Elizabeth and she conceives, and 6 months later Mary conceives, because it tells us not once, not twice, but three times, and Mary's 6 months along when Elizabeth is 6 months along when Mary conceives, that we just then do the math and the Lord shows up in September. The inherent danger of our Berean friends and other race compromisers.
Yes.
Is that it is a compromise with worldliness. They'll try to spin it. Oh, use Christmas to tell people about Jesus. Would that that were happening. Would that this was a time when you talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. My, that's hard to do. You're celebrating his birthday.
Yeah.
We're not into feasts, convocations, special days, star in the sky. We're Bible believers.
Amen.
As such, it's just clear as can be. Without bothering with where Santa Claus came from, without bothering where the tree god Odin, or the hanging of the greens, or the Yule log, that's a happy one. Or mistletoe, that one is reprehensible. Mistletoe came from Vestal virgins who were forced to participate in sexual activities in pagan temples. Well, you don't want to know these things, do you?
No.
Because you already got the mistletoe bottles in the refrigerator, you wait to hang it up. When a cute guy comes over that you then, give it up. Be crucified with Christ. Walk in newness of life. When people are doing the folly, don't you follow.
There you go.